I don't know if we put together like a power rankings or something, mm-hmm. but the people that we have had in the Wednesday Ask Slee spot, they've all been very, very good.
Solid.
Michael was great. Yep. Mason was great. Island was great. Ramona was great. Mm-hmm. Sedano just knocked it out of the park.
Solid. It's a perfect
Who's
little
next?
Buffer, too.
Cap?
Jorge was good, too.
Jorge was great.
Jorge was great.
Yeah, Cappy, who is we might next? Need to move the time just because he's a little busy at this time period.
What's he doing?
He has a podcast he likes to do, so that usually is at this time. So maybe we have to
can negotiate
it.
With
we
him.
Put it in the can, I guess.
Negotiate with Cap, just 10 minutes.
You know what else we need to do?
10 minutes.
Chris.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
We got to do Chris.
Yeah.
Chris will be good at it, too.
Yeah, let's keep thinking. It's good to kind of line these all up here.
What do you think about Sam? I went to get a cup of coffee this morning. I'm thinking, we're going to throw Sam in the
cool
hot seat.
Stories.
Well, Sam, you know, for those who don't know,
he's running the show.
Runs the entire show. So the amount of questions that you can ask him that, and Sam likes this kind of stuff,
yes.
right? Sam's not going to be, no, guys, I have no interest in it. That's another good one. Because it's so different than everything else.
Yeah, well, totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Garlic and onions, by the way, in the black beans, Slee, I'm going to give that a run tonight. Are you a canned beans guy when you make beans?
No.
You start from scratch?
Well, I'm not. I'm definitely not making beans as if like
you're growing them in the backyard.
I know what you're saying, but but I'm not typically.
You don't buy the bag?
No.
You buy the can?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And the only reason why I say that is because for the most part, a lot of my girl, she goes Tropicana, what he mentioned.
Yeah.
They've catered a lot of food for my girl's family.
Okay.
And that is.
Is she Cuban?
She's Cuban.
Okay.
Yeah. That's real, real deal.
Yeah.
Real deal.
That sounds amazing.
El Cochinito's, I think the one he said in Silver Lake. It looks like it's just in a regular strip mall. Don't think of it. I think there's a Subway in that strip mall. Nothing special at all. Unbelievable place. Like as good as Cuban food I've ever had.
I'm going to turn one of these Ask Sedanos into an Ask Slee.
What do you got?
I'm going to alter it slightly. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is said. The question from Luis Valverde is, what has made Sedano sigh the longest during his time with Cap? I'm going to turn that into what has made you sigh the longest with me.
It was in the beginning, but it doesn't get me as much. Actually, it's not going to be the one you're thinking. Yeah, it's not going to be the one you're thinking.
It's one of two things.
It's not the one. It's not.
Is it Messi?
It's the peacock more than Messi, because it was coming down to either the peacock or Messi. But you don't do it as much now. It was more just like you're looking straight into my eyes doing it, and I didn't know what to do. Like, do it real quick.
Which one?
Do the peacock.
Like
I don't know
YouTube, you can see it.
That's pretty
I don't
good,
know how to react to it. I don't know how to react to it. Like I don't, you know how you don't want to
well,
make eye
were,
contact
if you
sometimes.
Were a peahen,
you could laugh
where you could. That's pretty good.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you. We're done.
Yeah, but it
here.
Was happening.
I'm taking the
it
rest
was
of the
happening
day off.
So often that it wasn't there for that.
See, I think I wasn't here at the time. Why was peafowl coming up so often before I got here?
I forget why. Well, I grew up in Arcadia,
right? Yes.
Which is where all the peacocks.
It just became part of a conversation.
Part of our show. Right?
I think there was a story too that had come
something
out,
like that.
Or
something
they were
like
taken
that.
Over.
They're very loud. They're very messy. The males are very pretty. They're the ones with the blue heads and the feathers. The females, not so much. They look like giant ducks, kind of. They're not particularly good looking, but you should gaze into my eyes.
I want Taylor to see it. Look into Taylor's eyes and do it.
I'll hit Taylor, get closer. I'll hit you with one when you're not quite ready for it. Because if you can prepare for it, it's not going
to
have
the
same
effect. No, but do it to where his nose is touching the glass and your nose
I'll
the glass.
I'll slide over way over here and I'll do it just like that. I'll get right up next to the glass.
Get it awkward.
So I have another one of these Tom Brady little known facts. So here's another,
Mickey Mantle.
The more you know about Tom Brady. All right, so he's the second QB to win a Super Bowl in his first season with the team. Who is the first?
He's the second quarterback to win a Super Bowl in his first year with the team.
Roethlisberger? Yes.
Nope, it's not Roethlisberger.
Well, I need to think about this for a second. I have a guess, and I don't know if this... Is it Jim Plunkett?
That is incorrect.
First year, win the
I
Super
don't
Bowl.
Think it's this. I don't think it's this. It's not Kurt Warner, right?
It's not. It's going to be someone he famously won the Super Bowl with a team that it wasn't. He wasn't the reason they won the Super Bowl.
Brad Johnson.
Oh, I know what it is. It's Trent Payton. Dilfer.
It's Trent Dilfer. Ding, ding, ding. 2000 Ravens.
Yeah. That by the way, that descriptor, that was a great clue because that means Trent Dilfer.
Yes.
Right? He won it with his first year team. He had nothing to do with it. He was just along for the ride.
By the way, I was ruthless. I went Payton thinking with
the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he'd been there before. Remember, did they?
But he didn't have, he wasn't, you know. Wasn't
did they lose? They got smoked by Seattle and then they beat the Panthers. I forget which one came first. Mm. I forget which of those two things came first. Speaking of the Broncos, Sean Payton is the new head coach of the Broncos. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Denver sends the 2023 first round pick and next year's second round pick to New Orleans, and Denver gets Sean Payton and the Saints' 2024 third-round pick. The Broncos have been incredibly active in the trade market. They obviously did what they did for Russell Wilson. They did a deal with the Bears for Bradley Chubb, where they've done a couple of different things, so a lot of different things moving around. Sean Payton is a great coach. The very first thing when I saw that Payton got hired by the Broncos out was – the Chargers are so stupid. The Chargers are so uninterested in competing for a Super Bowl championship. They're so uninterested in, as difficult as it might be, trying to make some headway here in this city that they now call home, right? Because here's what happened yesterday. They opted to keep the guy, Brandon Staley, who has actively shot the team in the foot 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
2 years in a row. The reason their season ended before it should have was because the coach made an egregious error, right? They had a guy who lives in Los Angeles, likes Los Angeles, a quarterback who is very clearly a special talent, lots of good players, and he wanted to be here, and they said, nah, we're good. And now that guy is in your division.
Yep.
Already have a team in your division that's into the Super Bowl for the third time in 5 years. You're at best the third best team in the division, at best with the third best head coach. Because here's the thing. Sean Payton is going to make Denver good. Denver was supposed to be good last year, and they weren't for two reasons. Russell Wilson was a huge disappointment, and Nathaniel Hackett sucked at his job.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton doesn't suck at his job. If there's anything left in Russell Wilson, Peyton's going to get it out, and they have to play him twice a year. They not only didn't get the best man available for the job, they let him go to a team that's going to be standing directly in their way. It's such a disappointing move for a team that could have been really interesting with him as their head coach.
So I have a I've mentioned this to you during the football season. I got a couple buddies, this chain that I'm on. Couple buddies, not Charger fans, couple buddies, Charger fans. Get a text yesterday from one of them. Not good for the Bolts, and it's just the link. Broncos deal for Saints Payton. So a couple things went through my mind. I'm not surprised at all when you and I were talking about it after they lost to the Jaguars up 27-0. Do you think that Staley is going to remain the head coach of the Chargers? And my response was yes, I do think he's going to stay.
You were right.
And it's not because he should stay. It's because Dean ain't paying. He's not trying. An owner that actually wants to win, it would have been very simple what that owner would have done. Staley, 2 years, gave you another opportunity. Maybe I shouldn't give you an opportunity, but I gave you 2 years. This ain't going to work. What do I owe you? $8 million. Take this $8 million. And I'm going to shift my attention over here. Let's go to the Saints. Saints, what we got to do to work this out? I know Sean Payton wants to be in LA.
Sure.
I know he wants to coach the Chargers. By the way, I share a stadium that I don't own, but on the other side, Sean McVay's there. They already won a Super Bowl championship. I got Justin Herbert. Let me now figure out what that compensation is. Cool. Payton, what are you going to get paid? And what are the coordinators and all that you want me to go get? That's what winners do. That's what somebody whose number one priority is to go win would do. That is not Dean Spanos' number one priority. So this is not a surprise or a shock. And the worst thing that I think could have played out for the Chargers was he ended up in the division,
yes,
like you mentioned.
Yes.
Right? Now, Listen, you could look
at
it.
In a division that already has Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
You could look at it and say to yourself, oh, well, it's the Denver Broncos. Look how stupid they were going out and trading Russell Wilson, this, that. Go show me how many other teams that when they got the right coach, that franchise turned around overnight.
Yep.
How about the squad that just beat the Chargers, Jacksonville?
Look across the building. Look at the Rams. The Rams were bad for 15 years after Kurt Warner and Dick Vermeil left, and they got the right head coach, and it turned around like that.
But that's what you get for not, you know, you had your opportunity. Sean Payton could have been yours. You know why I think this deal took a little bit of time, too? I think it took a little bit of time because there was, hey, Sean Payton saying, let the dust settle. If I have my teams that I would most, if I had my list of the teams that I want to go coach most, I guarantee you, if Chargers weren't number one, they were ahead of the Denver Broncos.
Of course.
And then sitting here, let the dust settle, this is what you
have. Well, you said it, and I think that there's three things that have to be right for you to be a good football team. And I don't know in which order I'd put them. They might all be tied for first. You need to have a quarterback, you need to have a good coach, and you need to have an owner that wants to win. So you have to have those things. Denver has at least two of those things right now. They have an owner that wants to win, that will spend money, that is rich like the richest guys in the league are, right? Like the Kroenkes are. And he's got as much money as he needs. He wants to win. He got the right coach. They may or may not have the right quarterback. Time will tell with Russell Wilson, right? If he has another bad year, then I think we can slide him into the Matt Ryan, it's over category.
Yep.
Not quite there yet.
Yep.
Close, but not quite there. The Chargers have the quarterback, but they don't have the coach, and they don't have the owner.
Which one would you want?
Of the three?
Yeah.
The owner.
Of course.
Because the other two things you can buy.
Of course.
Yeah.
The owner, having the owner and the coach in place, to me, is more important than anything else. I'm not telling you players don't win. I'm not saying any of that. But if you got an owner that's willing to say, hey, I want to win and I'll do whatever it takes, and you got a coach that already has a Super Bowl and clearly understands how to coach the game of the NFL, you get those two, you can work with all the other pieces. You can improve your roster. You can go get the right quarterback. I think it's kind of comical, and I think it's kind of what they deserve. It's what Dean deserves.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. One last way of looking at this. Do you think Andy Reid sweats the Chargers?
No.
No. Do you think he's sweating the Broncos a little bit right now? Probably a little bit.
I think there's no team in that division that said to themselves, well, they would have loved to seen him go somewhere else,
right,
to put it that way.
Right. And then, oh, by the way, the Raiders are in the division too. So there, we mentioned the Raiders. That's how that goes. The Dodgers extended one of their players. I think it's more curious who has not been extended. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So to clarify too, people are getting all into this stat that I just said about Trent Dilfer. He is the first. Tom Brady was after him. Matthew Stafford has been since. There are other people that have done this thing. It was just that Trent Dilfer was first.
Not only first.
Yes, exactly.
So here, pay attention, people.
Matt Stafford.
Get off Emily's back.
Here's the next, the more you know. All right, so Tom Brady has the most wins at a single venue. He has 135 wins at Gillette Stadium. Who is second in that for the most at a single venue, and what venue is it?
I have a guess, because you got to figure it's somebody that played
stayed
a long time
there
and stayed in one team.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say John Elway at Mile High Stadium.
Do you have a guess, Alan?
I'm going to go with his old answer, Roethlisberger.
And Taylor, do you have a guess?
I'll say Elway, too.
It is Elway. Mm. Elway had 104 wins at Mile High Stadium.
They were good. Well, so is Roethlisberger, by the way. But I want to say, they both played forever.
Roethlisberger's on the list. It's third is Brett Favre, 98 at Lambeau, and then Ben Roethlisberger, 98 at Heinz Field.
Did Aaron Rodgers become Brett Favre, like, just overnight? Like, they become – because Favre's arc in Green Bay is remarkably similar to Rodgers, where Favre kind of showed up a little bit under the radar and became a hero, mm-hmm. won the Super Bowl, awesome, everybody loved him. And it's like, dude, can you just shove it down the road because we're tired of you, are you coming or going thing? And Rodgers sits there very politely and waits, and he goes to the Jets, and then he goes to the Vikings. And now we're at that point where Rodgers was like, can we just get this guy down the road? And everybody went from everybody loves him to I feel like most Packer fans are like,
he's gone,
yeah,
right?
Let's move on from him.
He's gone, right?
Should be a Raider. Is there anything Raiderier than them signing Aaron Rodgers? Now, you have to trade for him, obviously. Yeah. He's under, and it's a huge number. But I guess, you know, like, I'll go to what Key said. When it comes to football economics, I always come back to what Key told me, because since he told me this, and you look around, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
There is no salary cap. If they want to make it work, they can make it work. Mm-hmm. They can figure out a way to do it. If they want to pay you, they can. It's as simple as that. So, oh, they can't fit him. Yes, they can if they really want to get it done. Tell me he wouldn't be a great Raider.
That'd be an unbelievable place for him.
Right?
It'd be an unbelievable place. It really would. That brand, that location.
You can see him in the uniform, mm-hmm. practically.
And it'd be so cool to see him. Yeah, I think there's certain brands you want to see certain players, whether you like Aaron Rodgers or not. He's one of the all-time greats at his position. That'd be a unique marriage to watch.
I would love to see
it. Yeah, I would love
to see it too. I mean, look, we just spent 10 minutes talking about the AFC West.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you throw Aaron Rodgers into the mix?
Well, remember last year.
He can do ayahuasca as much as he wants in the desert. Like, it's going to be great for him.
There are no I was in Vegas last weekend. Yeah. No shortage of places to go have a good time. Just every type of dispensary.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is nice. Very convenient. You don't have to work too hard.
There was... There's on YouTube, sometimes they play like short clips, and it's just a random clip that comes up. And it was Casino, De Niro, and Pesci's clip where they meet out in the middle of the desert in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
And he's explaining that, you know, usually, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I know there's holes all over Vegas. He says, the moment he said drive 300 yards in or something like that, he's like, that's when I thought it was a 50-50 chance. And the scene just ends after Pesci comes out of the door.
Great movie. I always think of the digging the hole. Wait, I think this is the first blanking hole I've ever had to dug? I'll dig the blanking hole. That's so good. So good. Dodgers signed Tony Gonsolin to mm-hmm. a 2-year deal. It avoids arbitration. He gets a little bit more than $6.5 million over the course of 2 years. There are some incentives that can push it to a little bit higher. I don't know if this is just the way that I look at things or what, Al, but when I saw that, the very first thing that went through my mind is that's a really good deal for the Dodgers.
Yep.
Right? $3.25 million for a guy that was an all-star last year, still very young. Still appears to be getting better. That was the first thing that went through my thoughts. And then the very next thing was the Dodgers basically don't buy it yet. That the Dodgers, show me again. We love you. We think you're awesome. But we love you to the tune of $3 million a year, which feels very low in the grand scheme of things. That's one of those, show me again. And mm-hmm. then we can talk about whatever's coming next. But I'm going to need to see it one more time before we really do a big deal.
If he gets out of this year, and let's say he has another good year, similar to what he had this season. I know he had the injuries and everything mm-hmm. else. But let's say he has another really good year where you're like, hey, Gonsolin's
sure.
He's getting 15 wins a year or whatever the case is. Can he get out of that final year of arbitration?
No. So the first 3 years, you get what you get.
Okay.
There is no recourse. You get whatever the team decides they want to pay you, full stop.
Yep.
The next 3 years, you're arbitration eligible, which means if I'm the team and you're the player, mm-hmm. you pick a number, I pick a number. If we can't come to an agreement between those two numbers, it goes to the arbiter.
That's right.
And they don't split the difference. They pick one or the other.
Mm.
So the idea is to both teams have to be kind of close, because if one's way out of whack, the other guy's going to get what he wants. Then after that, you're a free agent. So they can go back and renegotiate this stuff whenever they want. And
the 2 years is not – and the reason why I'm asking, because 2 years, 6 months, if he has another one of those years –
they could rip it up and come back and say, hey, listen, you know, you're supposed to make 3.5. We're thinking we'd like to give you 10 for the next three. They can extend him whenever they want.
So that is the we got to see a little bit more.
I want to see it again.
Sure.
I want to see it again, which keeps bringing me back to this. Julio Urias is a free agent at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been their best pitcher for, 2.5, 3 years?
And he's been the most available.
And that's why he's their best pitcher. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. Walker Buehler's peak, probably slightly higher than Urias. Last year, Tony Gonsolin's peak, probably slightly higher than Urias. Kershaw, of course, is Kershaw. But you said it. This is the guy. If you want me to pitch in relief, I'll pitch in relief. You want me to come be the guy that comes in the fourth inning of
He's a horse.
And he does it whatever you want. But this is the all of those things kind of add up to he's going to hit his agent, Scott Boras. Mm. Scott Boras clients go to market. They go to market. He's going to demand a fortune, and he's going to get it. That the Dodgers let it get to this point. They're constantly doing weird stuff with him. He's a reliever. He's a middle guy. He's a closer. He's a starter. And you kept saying it last couple of years. Why is he always the one?
I feel he's a little disrespected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he's a Mexican player in a city with an incredibly enthusiastic Mexican fan base, Mexican-American fan base.
Clearly loves him.
Love him. Mm-hmm. Why not? Mm-hmm. He's awesome.
And delivers. He delivers every time he starts.
He's homegrown. Yeah. All of these things. Why have they not figured out a way to keep him in a Dodger uniform for the foreseeable future?
So I
didn't get to this point.
Can I genuinely tell you, what would be, you help me understand what would be the justification. What would be, why has it got to this point? Can you find a reason if you're the Dodgers front office to sit back and say, if they're sitting there today, are they saying, no, this is going just as planned? Or are they saying, are there any regrets, let's put it that way, that it's got up to this point? I don't have that answer.
Well, if I'm being devil's advocate,
okay,
I guess the answer could be, look, we've tried and they won't do it. Mm. That may be the most obvious answer because, look, Scott Boras takes his guys to free agency. This is what he does. He resets the bar every
Go
time.
Go see what he made this offseason, and that's even with Correa's deal coming down, whatever, 100.
He's terrific at what he does. Mm-hmm. If I were a Major League Baseball player, that's who I would hire to. It's the right thing to do. Maybe that's it. Maybe.
As in it's out of their control.
That they've gone to him and say, hey, can we extend? No, we're going to wait for them. We're going to do this. But the fact that they've used him the way that he has been used, the fact that they do all the things with him, they don't do that to Clayton Kershaw. They haven't done that with most of their, they don't do it with Walker Buehler, that he's been the guy, well, we'll have him here, we'll have him there. It's there seems to be an unusual, I don't want to say bad, but an unusual pattern of use that they've used him for that they don't for their other guys. And I don't know if they value him less. I don't know if he's a harder signing. I don't know if any of these things are true. It could be the agent. But that when you got a pitcher that good, that has been good for – it's not like he just popped on this. This isn't a Tyler Anderson thing who just, hey, oh, wow, right before he's time to go, he had the season of his life. Been good more or less from the moment he got here.
Consistent.
Why is he not locked up long term? It's a very odd deal because if they lose him, they're going to miss him.
Okay.
This is not one of those, we got plenty more.
Sure.
This is not Corey Seager. This is not Cody Bellinger. This is not any of
your
this.
Your Will Smith example yesterday where you got these unbelievable
guys,
prospects still there.
Ace, left-handed pitcher? Where are you going to find another one
only
of those?
The only thing I think of is maybe there is something from Julio and maybe there's something from Scott Boras that the way he has been used that – they do feel a little bit of disrespect with the way they've used him. Maybe there's a little bit of that. Maybe there is the, you know, I think at some point you reach a, I'm sure Julio loves pitching for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I guarantee you there's been moments in his career he's like, why am I getting shifted around like this?
Yeah.
I'm as good as any of these dudes.
And we've gotten to the point now where the finish line is in sight. Now he's going to go to, like, but if you would have come to him a couple of years ago.
Sure.
And said, hey, listen, because then as the player slash agent, you have to factor in the unknown, right? And I'm not saying you give him Mike Trout money, but there's a reason Mike Trout's never gotten to market. It's because the Angels came to him early and said, how about this? It's like, well, you have to take that. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen 3 years from now. Nobody does. But the Angels said, we're willing to risk it. And they got what they wanted.
It's not the best example, but Tatis is a similar one, right?
Yes.
You signed him, gave him 14 years. You're like, yeah, he ain't going anywhere. I'm not, I know it's a different position, the whole thing, but that does make you think.
I was looking up Tatis the other day. You wanted something that would really bum me out. Do you know when Fernando Tatis is available to become a free agent again? Do you know how old I will be?
When he's available.
When he's available.
Is he 2 years in his deal right now?
I believe he is. Yes.
Or maybe even one.
One or two.
Might be his second year right now. So you're probably 64, 63.
64 years
64.
Old. There's good a chance I'll be dead. That I'll be then when Fernando Tatis.
No, you won't.
You never know. could happen. An anvil could fall out of the sky. A piano mover could lose his rope, and it could come barreling down the street and take me out later today.
I guess that can happen.
What a way to go.
I guess that can happen.
All of my sudden deaths are anchored in the realm of Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah, what about like a TNT thing?
A raccoon anvil. Could have attacked you.
Anvils, TNT, and runaway pianos. These are the only things that are going to take
me
out.
Or a hole that isn't actually a hole. It's just painted onto a side of a rock.
Yes, I'm the coyote in this situation. That's how it could go. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. This Tom Brady trivia stuff is not, it's not very altruistic of me. I'm just trying to commit this to memory because I'm playing trivia tonight, and they tend to be very topical, so I'm trying to see what they might pull and put
yourself
into the game.
But how deep cuts are they going to go? Are they going like John Elway deep cuts, or
no,
are they just
they
going,
go deep.
What
they...
team did Tom Brady play for?
No, they go deep cuts, especially with sports. Like, yeah, like last week they did this one where, like, what's all these different, sayings in sports? And there's, like, stuff from, like, rowing and stuff from, like, cricket. And like
we'd kill it.
Yeah, you know.
Kitchen.
I'm big on the rowing and cricket. Yeah, we
kitchen is the one I learned.
Gotta stay out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
You can go in on a bounce, but you can't play it out of the air. No.
My team has been third place the past two times we've gone, and these two teams, one called Vampire Baseball, always beats us. Anyway, I'm really pumped up for it, so
good
I'll see if I'm sad tomorrow. All right, so D'Amico Ryans has now been hired as the head coach for the Houston Texans, and the thing I know about him is he is probably the most attractive coach in the NFL right now, and he has perfect skin. And I am very jealous of him because I'm also jealous of men that have perfect skin because I just know that they just put dial on their face and then they don't do any skincare, and it's very frustrating because I put so much money into my skincare. They should too. So you don't do any skincare at all. I'm saying like no, nothing that's outside of like a body wash. You don't do any extra things. Travis, fact or cap?
Fact. I use exactly what you just said. I use a bar of Dial soap from head to toe, and I use
he's a bar guy.
Edge shaving cream to trim my beard. That's it.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, no, a 50-year-old man, I don't have a moisturizing routine.
Not even like just a cleanser and then a moisturizer?
Al, do I look clean to you?
It's no pimples, nothing.
Yeah, I'm all right.
It's not about being clean. Okay,
well,
Alan.
It kind of is.
Same thing. Fact. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And you're a very handsome man, Al.
And here's the thing. I never have. I think a lot of it too,
so
probably
much.
Has something to do with what you eat. I think that has something to do with it as well.
Cookies.
As far as if you get, you know, a bunch of zits and everything else. So I do not use anything. I think a lot of other people, whether they do or they don't, I feel like dudes, for the most part, don't.
This happened to me this morning. I'm curious if this is a regular thing for Taylor. You answer this too. I woke up, looked at myself in the mirror, and I had like these giant red patches all over my face.
Yeah.
By the time I was out of the shower, they were gone.
I think it might have been the 16
what?
Cookies. Might
yeah,
have been the
like
cookies.
Not giant, but I had like these red...
Like hives? Or
not hives, but like noticeable patches of skin that were red all like through this part of my face right here, around my eyes, forehead,
your
and my cheekbones.
T-zone.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
My T-zone. And
you took a shower and it's gone?
I took a shower, I got out, and because I'm thinking like, okay, maybe it's like a zit or something I need to get rid of. Gone.
I hate you guys.
Nothing? Taylor, nothing?
I've never had what you had, but I also...
Taylor spends thousands of dollars a month on his face.
I don't really think I have great skin, but I don't use anything on my face. I don't use lotion. I actually don't use shaving cream or cologne or anything like that.
You're not supposed to use lotion.
How do you cut your beard with no shaving cream?
Well, I don't really have much of a beard, so...
You have some.
Just use a razor.
Dry?
Well, with water.
Hot water, I'm assuming there?
Hot water.
Got to open up the pores a little bit.
You know you're not in prison, right? You can have shaving cream.
Well, if I ever get there, I'll be prepared.
Do you ever shave? Do you shave in the shower or you shave in front of a sink?
I need a mirror.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
cell block H Taylor over
I'm
here.
Putting,
surprised he doesn't use a bed sheet.
I'm definitely putting some on. It feels so much better to have it on.
Yes.
But the hot water, is more important than anything
when
else.
When you get it under here, you get that rash. That's
yeah.
The other week, I missed a little bit. I missed a little spot on my sideburn. I didn't notice until I was driving in my truck. So I just took a knife, grabbed, got it out of there.
I'm just telling you right now. I called dibs on buying him shaving cream for Christmas. That's I'm calling.
Is it going to change my life
right
or what?
Now.
That is the best when you get in your car and you start looking like, what the hell did I just do? How did I forget half of my mustache?
And it's always by your mouth, and you can't stop.
Or
touching
right under
it.
The nose, yes. Or one of those two,
Emily. Yeah. Do you have that same problem?
Not exactly. No,
you
I
see,
don't.
See, we got
sorry.
Issues, too. Yeah, our lives are very difficult.
I know, but I mean, I use shaving cream for my legs. You know, it's whatever. But also, we should use Dollar Shave Club for Taylor. We do that read every so often now. So
there you go.
Dollar
Shave
Hook it up, Sleep.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So my friends and I were talking about this when we were watching some Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, the championship games this past weekend. And, you know, there's the State Farm commercials, there's the Progressive, there's the AT&T. Like,
Whopper, Whopper, Bacon, yes. Whopper, that one.
Nationwide.
The idea that there's like one person that represents a brand. So there's like Jake from State Farm, there's Flo from Progressive, there's the AT&T girl who doesn't have a name. But you would rather be like a one-hit wonder in a movie. Like this movie did really, really well. You did a one-hit wonder, that's all you got, than be the face of a brand. That's all people see you is just as the face of the brand. Everywhere you go, you're recognized as, oh, that's Flo from Progressive. Hmm. Alan, Factor Cap.
I think I'm going to go with the national sponsor, the State Farm, one of those. This is strictly a business decision. I think the one-hit wonder, I mean, listen, it's kind of crazy, but if Flo from Progressive stops doing commercials, I'll be fine. My day is not, I'm not going to get thrown off. But damn, there's an affiliation there. Yeah. With her there, you know what the commercial's about. They've kind of, they've done, they've milked it for as long as they have. That's got to be, and we see it in these games. How many ads are you seeing with her? How come I know her name, right? Like, how come I know all that? I'll take the commercials. That's got to be incredibly
lucrative.
Yeah.
Trev?
Yeah. I'm with Al. Yes, that Flo has been doing that spot for, and she's an actor. Like, she shows up. She was in Mad Men. She was in, what's the ice skating movie with Will Ferrell? Blades of Glory.
Yep,
she's in, like, she's in things.
She does stand up, too.
She's a professional performer, but she's Flo from Progressive and has been for 10 years. That thing's got to pay a fortune.
Yeah.
Lily from AT&T is Lily from AT&T.
Yeah, she's killing
No matter how many different times she shows up. And by the way, huge fan. Love Lily from AT&T. And I just think
she reads the script really well.
It makes me want to buy cell phones.
Sure.
I'm just saying that it works for me. But yeah, give me the national brand 100 times out of 100.
Taylor?
I'm going facts, so I'm going to pick the one-hit wonder just because, I don't know, I feel like you can disappear after that, just pick up residuals for the rest of your life and be fine.
Right.
I don't think Taylor needs like the millions of dollars coming in. I think Taylor can.
I can get by with
$7,000. He could go 9 years.
He doesn't have to buy any shaving cream.
No,
it's got to be a product I really believe in too. So I don't know.
Oh, not me.
You go for anything?
Not anything, but a lot of things.
All right, so we've heard about Taylor's taste in ladies. He likes a lady that's got a little bit of weirdness to her. I guess, is that what you would say, Taylor?
Yeah, I'd say that. That's right.
So, I have one of my best friends who's coming to visit next month. She is, and I kind of believe this too, but that she's very much a believer in tarot cards and psychics, and that there are some people that have intuition and that can give you something. So you believe in psychics, tarot card readers. Taylor, Fetcher Cap.
Oh man, Cap, I've done that stuff. You know, I've had exes, you know, show me all, what my future is going to be. And, I don't know. I think there's some truth to it, but I don't try to put too much belief into it because it scares me.
Trev?
I don't know, Cap, for me. I believe in that. We've talked about this. There are some things out there that I sign up, like I believe in karma. I believe you get what you give. I believe in these sorts of things. I don't think it's completely random, but that there's a deck of cards or some sort of star astrological alignment that is determining my fate. I don't buy that. No.
Al?
I want to believe it, but I don't believe it. Like, it just doesn't
work. Why do
you
want to?
I think the allure of thinking that where those psychic readings, you'll find it like at random places, and it will be like a... Not a pop-up, but it's like it used to be a home, and now it's like a business.
They're
it's
always
commercial.
In weird spots.
Weird
too.
Spots.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to go in and be like, hey, I don't know what's going on in this situation. What's happening in a couple weeks? I don't believe it. I do think there is a mental thing to it that people want to believe it, which is why those businesses...
Self-fulfilling prophecies.
Those businesses
you can apply
are around, but...
Have you ever done one? Have you ever done like a psychic reading?
Actually pulled up into one of those places, no.
Yeah. Have you guys? I've done it. Have you guys ever done it?
I've done tarot cards.
I'm going to tell you something kind of funny. This is actually a Middle Eastern thing. When you have a cup of coffee, like Turkish coffee, you know how they serve it in those like really small, in the really small cups, whatever you want to call them. When you're done, and these are thick, it's like really thick coffee. Okay. That's how Turkish coffee is. What my aunts used to do growing up, they would churn it over after you're done with the coffee. And then it's funny now thinking about it. They churn it over. And then after, let's say, 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes or so, that coffee would have moved, the thick coffee, sure, however it moved around, churn it back over, and they would start talking. And they would say, okay, this is what this means, this, that. When you're a kid, I'm like, this is interesting. When you're 30, you're like, what are we doing here? Can I get another cup of coffee? Or where are the desserts? Where's the baklava?
You know what you just described? Mm-hmm. Is that's where the expression read the tea leaves comes from.
Yeah.
When they take the teacup, put it on, pour out the little bit, and then turn it over, and the tea leaves and the medium would read the tea leaves on what was left in the cup. So yeah, your aunts are basically mediums.
Yeah, they're like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to work at ESPN LA for X amount of years. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah, they're relatively vague, so you can kind of choose whatever you want.
Whatever you want to believe,
the
right?
The one that I did was here in town. It was I was working at Fox at the time, and we were shooting this thing. It was actually, oddly enough, John Elway's getting ready for the Super Bowl against the Packers. And we were doing, John Elway had never won the Super Bowl before, so we were doing this. He was doing everything he can to try to get an advantage. So I dressed as John Elway and went to a psychic. You only shot it from behind, but I actually got the reading. And this lady could not have been less interested in doing the whole, like, you knock on, you ring the doorbell, this place by the freeway entrance where they always are. And she's like, yeah, give me 5 minutes. I'll be out in a second. And she's like putting on her robe, and she goes and pulls this ball off the shelf and says, it goes, oh, like, you want like the full thing? You want 5 minutes? We're like, we need like 30 seconds of B-roll is all we really, but you're paying full price, right? Yes, lady.
Now I want to go there.
So I believe in intuition. I believe that there is something that, you know, sometimes you just feel it and you know that this is something there. And I believe that we're all matter and it's neither created nor destroyed. So something has to go somewhere, and maybe there's people that can pluck that out of there. So I think there are some maybe talented psychics or tarot card readers out there. I believe that there's a lot of snake oil salesmen in this respect, but I believe that some are real. But that's just kind of my two cents about it.
Got one more?
I think we'll break and come back with something.
Another Tom Brady fact, Slee. Plus, the 49ers still have the weirdest quarterback situation, yeah, I've seen in quite some time. And oddly, no matter how many guys get hurt, they're always in a pretty good spot. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. And also, the word I was looking for your ladies is macabre. So I was given a vocabulary help with that one. And yes, her name is Lily, and I blanked out. And I know, Travis, you corrected me on her name is Lily.
Well, I wasn't trying to correct you. I missed that. Lily's, yeah, she's been doing that a long time,
too.
He knows
her first name basis.
Her real name is Melania, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Not that I've ever gone
pretty
to figure it out.
Okay, so the next in my The More You Know about Tom Brady. Okay, I think we all know that he's won 7 championships. So, this might be a rapid fire because I'm sure you guys know the answers to all of these. Who did he beat in all 7 championships?
You're talking about teams?
Teams.
All right, so he beat the
beat the Rams
Chiefs.
Twice.
Yep.
Beat the Chiefs.
Yep.
Beat the Falcons.
Atlanta comeback.
Carolina.
Yep.
What are we missing?
The Eagles.
Yep, one time.
Yep, and there's one more?
Yep. Anniversary is today.
Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle. Ding, ding, ding. You guys got it. Yeah. Can you name the two teams he's lost to?
Philly and
Giants.
Giants.
Giants twice. Yeah. Yes, good job, guys.
Yeah.
That's it.
Philly and the Giants.
Eli Manning's 2-0 against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
That should put you in the Hall of Fame itself.
It's so baller, too. It's so baller, too, because when you think of Eli, and, you know, however you want to look at his career and everything else, he beat Tom Brady twice.
Yeah.
He beat Tom Brady twice.
And beat a team that was 18-0 coming into the Super Bowl that was smashing people all season long. Emily, look this up for me. I don't know if this is true, but I have like this random nugget that's floating around in my head. I want to say Eli Manning only made the playoffs one other time in his career other than the two times he went and won the Super Bowl. That could be wrong, but that's why I want to check it.
I just win Super Bowls. That's how he should
walk around. If he got in, he was a problem.
That's amazing.
It's got to be. I've always thought that's got to be so weird when you have a brother that is as accomplished as Peyton Manning is, but you've also got this thing that he never did.
Yeah.
Like, you're 2-for-2 in the Super Bowl. Manning had a bunch of, like, gut-wrenching losses along the way. Missed a couple of Super Bowls. He had two.
And it's crazy.
Lost a couple more.
So he comes back from the, 28-3.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Super Bowl against the Seahawks where they don't hand it off. They throw the pick. I mean, just that's the way it goes, right?
So Emily and I were having this discussion this morning. Is it just that the Patriots slash Tom Brady were that good mm-hmm. and they always found a way to win really close games, mm-hmm. or were they kind of lucky a handful of times?
I think it's the first one. I think it's the first one. I really do. I don't think you can have...
The Malcolm Butler thing is pretty insane. Lucky.
It's That's insane.
Pretty lucky.
It's insane. But it's also, you know, in a weird way, I'm just going to jump the route because we got nothing to lose here. If they actually decide to throw the ball, we're going to lose anyways. I'm just going to jump the route.
And it was a bad call on the side of Terrible. Pete Carroll. Yes.
No. Of course it is. But I'm saying that if you decide to throw the ball, we are going to lose here. I'm just going to jump the route. Nobody's going to get mad at me. I'm just going to, and you couldn't have, you run that play 100 more times. I don't know if that timing is going to work out perfectly the way he did it. But I lean more towards, I give teams or organizations more credit when it comes to that than I do
right.
luck.
Here's the other thing. The two giant wins, so for Brady, the two giant losses, the David Tyree helmet catch, most unbelievable.
That
if anything, he's a little unlucky that happened the way that
Eli
it did.
Is that Eli scrambling on
That's
that play,
Eli
too?
Scrambling
okay.
around.
How about the Eli scrambling to right. even have that throw 100%. Go off?
And the fact that the whistle wasn't blown because it did feel like he was kind of in the grasp a mm-hmm. little bit along the way. He escapes. And then the other time they beat him, he basically just threw a jump ball down the left side to Mario Manningham, who goes up and gets it. It's like that led to the game-winning touchdown, that he could very, very easily be 9-1 in Super Bowls.
So I think it averaged out.
The Eagles one was actually, that was a shootout that came down.
Yeah,
and
but
I think
the Eagles
that was
beat
Eagles.
Them. Eagles just kind them, of straight up beat them.
And same for
that
when
game.
Patriots beat the Rams. Rams just beat, Patriots just beat the Rams.
Yes.
So like those are two things
kinda
that I
kind of averaged out.
Do you have, we were talking about this with LeBron. There's 100 different moments, like your favorite LeBron, or your not even favorite, that's the mm-hmm. wrong way to put it. Just the thing that pops into your head first when you think of LeBron James, and there's 25 different answers, and they're all good. What about Brady? Do you have one that just, when you think of Tom Brady, you think of what?
I'm thinking of moments. So I'm thinking when he puts his hand.
That's it for me too.
Okay. And I
That's
also,
exactly
and
it.
I actually think of the interception, his reaction to the interception.
Oh, the Butler interception?
Yes.
Yeah, where it's kind of the same reaction.
He doesn't know what to do. Yeah, he doesn't know what to do. And he starts screaming, and he just didn't know what to do. I think of those two.
It's so funny. Me too. That very first one, because mm-hmm. remember, that was the greatest show on turf. Mm-hmm. Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Kurt Warner. They're just scoring points. They're just smashing everybody all season long. Brady's not a rookie, but he's a guy that is completely unknown, and he's only filling in because Drew Bledsoe got hurt, and everybody's screaming, you know, go to overtime, go to overtime. They march down the field. Vinatieri kicks the field goal. He's up on the podium like, what the hell just mm-hmm. happened? He was shocked at what had just happened, and that was the last time you really ever saw him kind of like, I can't believe this has happened to me. After that, it was
like,
always,
no, it's supposed to happen.
I'm Tom Brady. I kick your ass.
Actually,
what
do you
I
know
do.
what it was all the other times, which is other iconic Tom Brady moments, when he starts running towards the tunnel, and I don't know how many different times it's like he won, and it's one of those, yep, and whether that was in the AFC Championship or whether it was in the Super Bowl, it was a big playoff game, whatever it was, just that iconic jog. He'd always go back, sometimes, you know, point into the crowd or not. And it's like, yeah, that's just Tom Brady.
It's funny. Go ahead, Em.
I was going to say, for me, it's not like it's the entirety of that time of the inevitability of Tom Brady coming back from that 28-3. Once it started going in their favor, what is it, like the Edelman catch that got it. It's just like the idea of like, he's really going to do this. This is really going to happen. And the entire story around it, too. Like, his mom was sick, and, like, she had just gotten to get there. I mean, we can all see it this weekend, 80 for Brady, about the story about it. But then his jersey got stolen right after.
That's right.
The entirety of the story around that Super Bowl specifically is Tom Brady in my head.
You know what else? And just as we're talking about this, another one that just popped into my head was a couple of years ago when he started coming back against the Rams. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to do it again. Mm-hmm. This is, the Rams are going to be the freaking Falcons.
Oh, no. The surprise is if they don't catch.
But the Rams, just like the Falcons, they were mm-hmm. kicking his butt, right? The Rams were in complete control of that game. And then Cam Akers fumbles right before the half. They're getting ready to go in again to basically put the game on ice, to go up like, I don't know, would have been 31-3 or something like that at that point. Instead, he fumbles. They don't get those points. And now it's a little bit closer. And the second half comes out. And it's like, okay, Rams are really good. McVay's really good. Stafford, Cup, Donald.
Brady's
cooked. We're fine. Brady looks a little gassed. And then it just starts. And it's one of the only times where it starts happening. only he didn't get the last thing. I'm sure it's happened before, but nothing that I remember.
You know, the only reason why is because he didn't have the ball at the end, right?
Probably.
The fact that it was...
They gave the Rams barely any time, though.
They did, but it was also an idiotic play on defense to say, we're going to let somebody else. They sent everybody, and we're going to let Cooper Kupp go one-on-one with somebody else. Tom Brady can't defend that. So that's not on him.
And to answer your question that you asked earlier, the stat about Eli Manning, so he has only won games the 2 years that he beat the...
Is it only one
playoff? Yeah, okay, so he's gone to the playoffs outside of those two seasons, but he's only won games in those 2 years they went to the Super Bowl.
So once he won that opening game, you just put all your bet your house.
What's he gonna do?
Eli Manning's going to go win the Super Bowl along
the
way.
He's got two Super Bowls for the New York Giants.
Lakers get a win. LeBron moves further up a list, and I'm still very, very worried, Slee, about what I'm seeing. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.